I call the House Rules Committee to order. Today is April 2nd, 2019, and the time is 11:30 a.m. Members present: Representative Johnston, Representative Edgman, Representative Thompson, and Representative Pruitt, and myself, Representative Kopp. So, with five members present, we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take the time to silence your cell phones. I left mine in my office, so no chance of that today. So before we begin, I'd like to thank Lori Rowland from Records. We don't have Lori. You're right there. You're right there. You said you'd see me in a few minutes, and there you are. Sir. Yes, my staff, Grace Truitt, is Committee 8, and Grace Abbott and Madison Truitt from the LIO is with us also. Thank you. The only item before the committee today. Thank you, Representative Eastman, has now joined us. And Representative Stutes has now joined us. Thank you, Representative Stutes. So the only item before the committee today is Senate Bill 41, sponsored by Senate Rules, by the request of the court system, an act relating to the number of Superior Court judges in the 3rd Judicial District and providing for an effective date. For members' information, Senate Bill 41 is the companion bill to House Bill 77. A majority of the members of this committee have heard House Bill 77 in previous committees of referral. The bill is in the same format. It contains the exact same language. House Bill 77 is in House Rules Committee now, and the bills have had a combined number of hearings that total eight hearings. So our intention today is to give Senate Bill 41 its requisite hearing in this body and move it from committee. At this time, I would like to invite Nancy Mead, General Counsel to the Alaska court system, to the table to present the bill. We will allow Ms. Mead to complete her presentation, and then we'll move to committee questions. So Ms. Mead, please identify yourself for the record and begin testimony when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, I am Nancy Mead, General Counsel for the Alaska court system. As the chair noted, I think the majority of the members have heard this bill in the form of House Bill 77 previously. But I will recap very briefly what this bill does. The only thing it does is to add two judges to the number of Superior Court judges authorized in the statute and specify that those two judges will be seated in the 3rd Judicial District. With this bill, to be more precise, the court system would be able to convert two existing district court judgeships, one in Homer and one in Valdez, to have them instead be Superior Court trial sites. The reasons the Supreme Court is asking for this is because both Homer and Valdez are our last remaining single judge locations that are not served by a Superior Court judge. And though most of you know this, I will say that a Superior Court judge has original jurisdiction over any trial matter that arises in the state, while a district court judge has only limited jurisdiction. A Superior Court judge can handle felonies, domestic relations cases like child custody and divorces, probate issues like mental commitments, child in need of aid cases, for example, a lot of other things. But a district court judge, in contrast, can handle only misdemeanors but not felonies, cannot handle child in need of aid except for some very emergency preliminary things, etc., and cannot handle mental commitments or divorce cases and custody matters. So by staffing both Homer and Valdez with a Superior Court judge, we would then have an individual there, a judicial officer, who can handle all the cases that walk through the door of those courthouses. Right now, the timing for this is ideal. Our Homer existing district court judge has announced her retirement effective the end of this fiscal year, and the existing district court judge seat in Valdez is actually vacant because that individual was appointed to the Juneau Superior Court recently. So if this bill passes and is signed into law, the Judicial Council will advertise these two openings as Superior Court seats rather than district court seats, and that would give us the flexibility we need. I'll talk briefly about what has been happening in Homer. In Homer, the district court judge handles all the district court matters that are filed, but any Superior Court matters that are filed are handled by traveling judges. Judges from Kenai need to go down there about their default schedule is a week a month to handle all the child in need of aid cases, divorce cases, and felonies, et cetera. And we did install a video conferencing system between the two courts to cut down on travel. Nonetheless, there are lots of hearings and criminal matters and child in need of aid, as you can imagine, where the judge has to be face-to-face with the parties in the courtroom. So there is significant travel involved, which obviously impacts the court calendars and schedules of the Kenai judges. That is not an ideal or sustainable way to handle those filings on the Kenai Peninsula, and that's why we are hoping to change that. In Valdez, it's been similar, though slightly different. The district court judge there has served for a long time and has been willing to handle some superior court matters. And by rule, the court can pro tem, we call it, temporarily allow a district court judge to handle some superior court matters. And that judge, as the district court judge in Valdez before him, has been able and has the experience and qualifications to handle a lot of superior court matters. So we haven't had as much travel. But if that seat were to be filled with a new district court judge, we would be in the position of having Palmer judges needing to cover the superior court caseload in Valdez. So though the problem hasn't been as acute there because of the individual seated, it would become acute with a new individual in that slot. So we want to upgrade, again, that position to handle everything that's filed in the Valdez courtroom. I do want to say that the Supreme Court has thought of other alternatives to this. We do try to be conservative in our asks to the legislature. And as I say, they've installed video conferencing equipment. And for example, in Valdez, there's conferencing equipment between the Valdez Courthouse and the Glen Allen Courthouse and the Cordova Courthouse to try to minimize the travel. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, there are certain things where you just have to travel. So we think that right now having those two seats as superior court judges would help the local communities there, but also provide flexibility really in the whole third judicial district. So that, for example, if a Palmer judge is occupied with a long criminal trial, this individual, a superior court judge in Valdez, could take the pressure off and maybe handle the child in need of aid cases for that superior court judge for a month or for 6 weeks or something. So it allows flexibility in staffing really all over the district. That person could help in Kodiak and other places as well, and we think that that is probably what's going to happen. I'd also like to go briefly touch on our fiscal note. As I say, we try to be conservative. A new judge, a brand new Superior Court judge, added to the number of judges, as opposed to what we're doing here, which is kind of converting an existing seat, can cost about $500,000 in their salary. They usually need all sorts of equipment. They need an in-court clerk. They need an assistant and a law clerk, et cetera. So we're hesitant to put in an ask like that. But with this conversion of an existing judgeship, the new Superior Court judge would literally use the existing chair and computer and courtroom and staff that's already in place in those locations. And so the fiscal impact is the difference in the salary and benefits between a district court judge and a superior court judge. A superior court judge gets paid more. And we netted back out of that the estimated travel costs that would be obviated with this, because then there would be no more need for that travel, since the individual in place could handle what walks into the courtroom. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions from the committee? Representative Eastman.
Thank you, and through the chair. Now, can you tell us what difference, if any, is there normally in staffing between a superior court judge and a district court judge?
Through the chair to Representative Eastman, superior court judges typically in the past have each received a dedicated law clerk, and district court judges don't receive a dedicated law clerk. They share a law clerk in Anchorage, for example. And so that, other than that, though, they need an in-court clerk to do all the work that's involved during a proceeding, and they both each have a judicial assistant to do administrative tasks and help them keep on schedule and on task.
And follow up?
Yes.
Also through the chair. So are these going to be then the only two Superior Court judges that don't have those dedicated staff, or is that solved some other way?
Through the chair to Representative Eastman, they will not be the only Superior Court judges without a law clerk, which is the only difference in staffing. In the Juneau Superior Court, we have two law clerks for three Superior Court judges, so they share resources there. And what we expect for this individual, these individuals, both in Homer and Valdez, is that they would share existing law clerk resources from other judges. And that's because as we look at the state's fiscal picture, the court is rethinking whether we can do something else going forward in order to be more conservative with the resources. So the Valdez judge, when he or she needs a law clerk, could contact literally the judges in Palmer and say, hey, can one of your clerks help me with this project? And similarly for Kenai. And we do think that that will work and bring about the appropriate results.
Thank you.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just have a question about retirements. District court judges get a certain retirement, but my understanding is that the Superior Court judges have a higher percentage on their retirement. I'm sure that wouldn't reflect on a yearly fiscal note that we have in front of us, but out in the out years, it sounds like that maybe our retirement costs will be going up. Is that correct?
Through the chair to Representative Thompson, the way I'm hearing your question as what happens in 20 years, for example,
right,
when the Superior Court judge retires. It is true that any judge's retirement benefit that they receive per month from the state is based on the salary of the judge for the court upon which they sat. So a Superior Court judge receives in retirement a percentage, depending on how long they served, of a Superior Court judge's salary, whereas a District Court judge receives in retirement a percentage of the lower District Court judge's salary. So it is true that somebody who earned an larger salary throughout their career will have a larger retirement payment. So at some point in the future, somebody who's a Superior Court judge does receive more retirement pay than a District Court judge would.
I think that answers it. It's kind of an indeterminate figure looking out 20 years. You can't tell what it's going to be, but it would be more expensive for that retirement.
Through the chair, that is correct. A higher paid employee gets more retirement than a lower paid employee.
Follow up.
Mr. Thompson, yes.
Is there a difference in the percentage of their pay that they receive? You know, I mean, sure, they make more money, but is their retirement based on a higher percentage of their salary than district court judges?
Through the chair to Representative Thompson, no, that all judges' retirement is based on the number of years that they served. So if they each served 10 years, it would be the same percentage of that salary for the court upon which they sat.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the committee? Ms. Mead, so one other cost savings that's come to light of listening to your testimony and having driven the road from Kenai to Homer many times for the that's where the sexual assault response team nurses were located, was down in the South Peninsula Hospital with the prosecutor with me. Sometimes the prosecutor comes down thinking they're all going to do is misdemeanor arraignments, and then they have felony arraignments and the Superior Court judge is not there. So they have to go all the way back up the road and make a second trip back down when the Superior Court judge is available to make those felony arraignments. So I know this is also easier on the Department of Law going to Valdez court, going to Homer court, knowing that whatever they're faced with when they get down there, because you can't predict when felony arrests and arraignments happen, there will be a judge there to handle those cases. That prevents prosecutors from making multiple round trips on the road. So I didn't comment on that earlier, but I do see a savings there too, also to law. So thank you, Ms. Mead. If there's no other questions from the committee, let's go ahead and move on to public testimony. We'll now open the bill for public testimony. I don't see anybody online. Okay, is there anybody in the room wishing to testify to this bill? Seeing no individuals wishing to speak to this bill, I will now close public testimony. Is there any further discussion regarding Senate Bill 41? I would entertain a motion to move this bill from committee. Representative Johnston.
Yes, Chair Kopp. I move Senate Bill 41, Work Order 31-LS0380/A from the committee with an individual recommendation and one attached fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 41 passes from committee. And members, I'm just going to ask you to stay around so we can sign the committee report. And so with no further business for the committee, we are adjourned at 11:46 a.m.